Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Luke, and we're in chapter 12. We trust you'll have your Bible open, and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. We've been in the book of Luke for the past several weeks, and I want you to know that this is a running narrative that is before us. If you were to go back in chapter 11, which we're referred to do so in verse 1 when it says, in the meantime, in other places it's translated at that time or at which time, so it's a continuation. And if you recall our study together last week, there was a dressing down of Pharisees and lawyers and scribes because those guys were culpable for the death of many of the prophets throughout the ages, and they made it clear that they were religious charlatans at the very least, okay? And so when it says at the same time or in the meantime in verse 1, you see it being connected. And this is important to note because the passage is going to have some things to say to a distinctively Jewish group. It's very important when we study our Bibles that we keep clear to whom he is speaking. And as he's speaking, in this case, he's gathered together amongst an innumerable multitude, verse 1 says. Look at it. Verse 1, it says, in the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples first of all. Now, it's important to see what he's just done. He's just shown us a number of things that are involved in the circumstance at the moment. One thing is that the people have been about fed up to hear with those Pharisees. And he's just dressed them down, and therefore they're kind of his fans. I mean, they're for him. He speaks as one having authority and not as the scribes spoke. He was one who was willing to go nose to nose with the religious authorities of his day. Now, it's very important for us to realize that our role in life is to be believer priests if we're God's children. In other words, you have the responsibility to choose where you give your influence, where you get your teaching, where you get your biblical knowledge. It ought to be in a nook with the book primarily, but when you leave that nook and you go into the church of the living God, which should never, ever, ever, ever be abandoned. I don't care what the world's doing. That's all part of the apostasy. If you don't do church, then you're part of the apostasy. And I don't care what your arguments are. There's always somewhere that God will lead you if you will allow yourself to find it, because Jesus is in love with his church. You can't hate his bride and tell him how much you love him. It just can't. That doesn't go together. Okay? Simple as that. And what we see here is that he has just received a great many people involved with what he's been doing. It's an innumerable crowd. They're treading upon one another. Kind of, you know, you can imagine people moving through the crowd and having put hands on elbows and shoulders and trying to get around and, you know, not trip because there's so many people here. And it says that he began to say unto his disciples, first of all. If you want to underline that, you can do so because it will remind you only the first few verses are going to be more churchy verses, okay? Because he's talking to Jewish people, but his disciples are not going to be part of the Jewish people. They're going to be part of the body of Christ and the bride of Christ, because they're going to be here throughout his death, burial, resurrection, and the birth of the church. So they're going to be part of the dead in Christ that will be raised when Jesus comes back. Now, that's a distinction you have to make if you're going to understand the Gospels, because Jesus is initiating some new things that the people of God, i.e. Israel, were supposed to have recognized. You see, Israel were to be guests of the bridegroom and the bride. They were supposed to always be preparing the way for the bride and the bridegroom. They were supposed to actually be telegraphing the message throughout the Old Testament era to the Gentiles. They never did. They built walls and fences rather than bridges and brought light. So when you see that, this will help you to remember there are two groups of people in this passage that he's actually talking to. And by default, the disciples would be the ones we would identify with most deliberately. I'll show you that further as we go along. It says that he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, so this is the churchy side of his message. He says, "Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." Very important. That's the theme of the chapter, really, in a big way. It's the idea of hypocrisy. If you let your eye fall down to verse 56 of chapter 12, he actually says it again, "Ye hypocrites." All right? Or you can discern the face of the sky and so forth. So the bookends of this chapter have to do with hypocrisy. So beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now, hypocrisy is a very interesting word. It comes from a compound word, and it was used in the dramatic arts of the day. We've all seen the smile face and the frowny face that's kind of just like a mask. And the word hupo, it means under, and the word krisis really is krino, and it has the idea of hypocrisy. It comes from the idea of to judge under or to get your lines under. You put together a script under a mask. That's what they did. These were being called very deliberately play actors. They weren't for real. And he's telling the disciples they were subject to the same temptation. Who are the disciples? Well, for our purposes, we're going to broaden it. It's to us too. He's saying you and I can fall prey to being hypocrites, and it is a leaven we want to be very much aware of in the world in which we live. If you were to understand this more deliberately, you'd understand that when people call people hypocrites in the church, they're really not talking about the biblical side of hypocrisy. You see, a lot of times hypocrisy in the church is talked about as people who say they're Christians and they're not. Well, that's not hypocrisy. That's just deception, and they're deceived. And their Bible talks about the kingdom of heaven being like a little mustard seed that grows up into a tree, and the birds of the air come and live in it. So sometimes you're pointing at lost people. But we're talking about religious leaders. Now, if you're a child of God, you are already by default a religious leader. You are. I mean, you might be leading poorly, but you know, the Bible says a disciple, when he's fully trained, will be like his master or his teacher. And you all have people who you've influenced one way or the other. If we've grown up, and I believe this is part of the reason we have a problem in the church today, is because our last couple of generations have been playing at church. They've been poor disciples because they've not made Jesus the end-all, be-all of it all. He's way down on the list, and the children have perceived that. They perceived it, first of all, because they were being brought up many times biblically illiterate. Many times they were brought up without ever having been told there were answers to their hard questions. When their parents were asked those questions, they didn't have an answer, and they blanched and smiled, chuckled, and said, "Well, we just trust God," and gave them a pat answer, which really was the worst of answers. They should have said, "Son, daughter, that's a good question, and I'm sorry I can't answer it right now, but I'll get back with you because that deserves an answer. We can't be this mamby-pamby Christian church that's been in the past couple generations. Our parents got it from their parents." You get back into the 50s and you're seeing a whole group of people, we've talked about it, chicken in every pot, two cars in every garage, and we think that is Christianity because God's blessing us. That's not it at all. In the church age, the blessing more often, I would say, is persecution. If you start living for Jesus, you might lose your job or lose a friend. And so I suggest to you that when he says, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees," he's talking to leaders. You and I are believer priests, therefore we are leaders. And when we go into our world, we need to go without hypocrisy. Now that's huge, right? So what we're talking about here, each person is being addressed when he's talking to the disciples. He says, "Beware." Now if I were to title this message, it would be "Forewarned." Because he will use that word. He says, "I have forewarned you." Now, there's some interesting dialogue going on here. What we're going to see is this is, not only is it a contemporary message for his day, because he's going to be talking to Jewish people who are a mess, but he's also going to be talking to Jewish people who are going to come into their own toward the end of the age. Now, that's interesting. So this goes back and forth. Whenever Jesus talked about the last days in the Gospels, he would talk about a near and a far. And sometimes you'd have to be very circumspect to be aware of when he's talking near and when he's talking far. And I want to suggest to you that here, he's talking far. Because he says, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither anything hid that shall not be known. Now, when I read that, there's a couple of ways I see that. You know, the Bible tells us very deliberately in the book of Romans that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Some people would read this verse and they would say, well, this is familial judgment. Now, I'm not going to die on this hill, but from my estimation, when I read my Bible and I see what God's going to do, there is going to be a judgment. All of our works are going to pass through a fire, and some are going to be saved, yet so as by fire. But I do not see anywhere in the epistles where we're taught more minutely the details of our relationship with God and our relationship with Jesus as the bride. I don't see him anywhere humiliating the bride. Even the saved by fire thing, that's going to be momentary. They're going to suffer loss personally, but they're not going to suffer humiliation. Jesus suffered our humiliation. He was on the cross naked, dying, bleeding, and bearing our sins in his body on the tree. So I want to suggest to you that this is one of those prophecies like all the world will see the two witnesses lying on the ground dead. I want to suggest to you that this is suggestive of when we find the Antichrist being seen sitting in the place where he ought not, when the entire world sees that, when the entire world sees Jesus coming back because of all of the devices, when the world sees a one-world governmental system where everybody gets a mark in their hand or in their forehead. You see, what he's basically telling us, in my estimation, is he's telling us something about the last days. He's telling us there's going to be a point where you won't be able to say anything, but somebody's listening. Now, wait a minute. Isn't that already here? Somebody's always recording your stuff. I don't know if you knew this, but this past week it was brought to my attention that my phone was updated without my permission to include a tracker for COVID-1984. Your phones now have a tracker in it for Google, so that if you have tested positive, you can flip this little switch and let everybody know in your neighborhood, like a sex offender registry, you can be warned by a notification you're walking past somebody in the store who had COVID-19. So I suggest to you there's a near and a far here. Nothing you say will be kept secret. Nothing you look at will be kept secret. That you can be destroyed if they want to destroy you. And I suggest as we look at this passage, you'll see with me, if you'll let your eye fall down to verse 32, it says, fear not, little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So he's talking about the little flock, meaning there's only going to be a remnant of Jewish people that are going to be saved. And in verse 36, it says, and ye yourselves be like unto men that wait for their Lord when he shall return from the wedding. So he's talking about last days things. That's what I'm trying to establish for you. Down in verses 32 and 36, he's showing us, he's talking about last days things. So to bolster my case that this could be a far, because I don't see humiliation from the Father and from the Son. It says no condemnation, no one can separate us. He's not going to bring up your mess and say, now it's on display and you're going to walk around in humiliation. But down here, saved but not safe. Don't flirt with the world's fire, okay? Because the world's fire will bite you. They will use it against you. And they will seek to destroy you. And he's saying, beware of this. And he's talking about last days things and an unfolding of how the church age is going to ultimately crescendo. For there is nothing, verse 2, covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. See, if they want to destroy you, they'll be able to bring a charge. You know, I want to just go on record as saying something that has fascinated me personally in recent days, past 4 years actually, is that you've got a man named Donald Trump, and he has been very shrewd in his business and all of the things he's done. And with all of the power of Google and of social media and of the listening in on phones that can be done, it amazes me that they've not been able to put anything at his feet and say, that's what you did. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.